I'm going to just put the title out there right at the start. It's called Worst Fears. So it sounds a little bit negative. Maybe I don't mean it to be, but that is the title, Worst Fears. And I am going to read the entire first chapter of Job. So it is a little bit long, so I do apologize for that as well, but bear with me. There is a reason for me doing this. So we'll just start with that. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was blameless and upright, and one who feared God and shunned evil. And 7 sons and 3 daughters were born to him. Also, his possessions were 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 female donkeys, and a very large household, so that this man was the greatest of all the people of the East. And his sons would go and feast in their houses, each on his appointed day, and would send and invite their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. So it was, when the days of feasting had run their course, that Job would send and sanctify them, and he would rise early in the morning and offer burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, "It may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts." Thus Job did regularly. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. And the Lord said to Satan, "From where do you come?" So Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro on the earth and from walking back and forth on it." Then the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil?" So Satan answered the Lord and said, "Does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge around him, around his household, and around all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But now stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face." And the Lord said to Satan, "Behold, all that he has is in your power. Only do not lay a hand on his person." So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. Now there was a day when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house. And a messenger came to Job and said, "The oxen were plowing and the donkeys feeding beside them when the Sabians raided them and took them away. Indeed, they have killed the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you." While he was still speaking, another also came and said, "The fire of God fell from heaven and burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I alone have escaped to tell you." While he was still speaking, another also came and said, "The Chaldeans formed 3 bands, raided the camels and took them away, yes, and killed the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you." While he was still speaking, another came and said, "Your sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house, and suddenly a great wind came from across the wilderness and struck the 4 corners of the house, and it fell on the young people, and they are dead, and I alone have escaped to tell you." Then Job arose, tore his robe, and shaved his head, and he fell to the ground and worshipped, and he said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." In all this, Job did not sin, nor charge God with wrong. When I spoke last time, 3 weeks ago, I shared in that message some things that I intend to get rid of during 2026. The clutter that I wanted to focus on as I entered the new year exists in my head, my thinking and thought processes. I'll just remind you of the 3 things that I identified as being unhelpful and in need of eliminating from my thinking in the year ahead. First of all was fear and or panic. The second was any kind of reference to my own ability or inability in any situation. And the third one was doubt. I shared at Bible study on Wednesday night that despite having 12 different messages on the boil in note form at the moment, when I woke up Monday morning, the Lord presented me with a completely new message, which is what I will be delivering this morning. As usual, the message speaks to my own heart and addresses issues that I'm grappling with in my own walk with the Lord. But I do hope that these words might speak to your heart as well. I'm not the sort of person who dreams. Certainly, I very rarely wake up remembering a dream that I've had in the night. It's such a rare occurrence for me that when it does happen, I find it quite disconcerting. During the night, somewhere after midnight on Monday morning, I suspect, I had a very vivid dream. It was one of those that when you finally wake up, you have to prove to yourself that you are safe in bed, alive and well, as the dream seems so real. In this dream, I was driving somewhere at night, and suddenly, a lorry from the other lane started to veer into my lane. I knew that if I tried to move onto the shoulder of my lane, the lorry would still collide into my car. The only thing I could think of doing was to turn into his lane and to get to the shoulder on the other side of the road, out of his line of trajectory. I did not get crushed by the lorry, but I did lose control of the car, which flew off the road into whatever lay on the other side. I had a sense of falling and knew that when the car hit the ground, I could very well be dead or severely injured. From the moment I saw the lorry come into my lane, the words, "Be with me, Jesus," I wonder if the arrow prayers had been a bit of a contributed to my brain overnight. "Be with me, Jesus," went over and over in my head. I felt a genuine sense of peace, and although it was a frightening experience, I did not feel panic-stricken or afraid. I knew that if I did not survive the impact of the crash, I would be okay because I would be in the arms of Jesus. Equally, if I was badly injured, I knew that the Lord would take care of me. The car in my dream never actually hit the ground. I fully expected it to, and I was surprised really when I woke up and realized that I was okay and that it had only been a dream. When I get up each morning, the first thing that I do is I make a pot of coffee and then I do my morning devotions. The Bible plan that I'm currently using is following a chronological order through the Old Testament. So I'd been reading in Genesis for a while, and then suddenly on Monday morning, I was in the book of Job. I was assigned the first three chapters of Job as my reading for Monday morning. The outcome of my dream encouraged me that the Lord was helping me to eliminate fear and panic from my thinking. At no point in my dreamt near-death experience did I feel frightened or panicky. And then I read Job chapter 1. And I found myself in floods of tears. When it comes to my own life, I truly believe that I have no fear of death. I do not relish the thought of serious injury or physical suffering, but even if that were to happen to me, I have confidence that the Lord will see me through it. When it comes to the lives of my children, I cannot feel the same. I have read the book of Job at least 10 times over the past 10 years, so the story is not new to me. But given my challenge of eliminating fear and panic from my thinking, coupled with the dream I had had the previous night, where I did not feel those things when my own life was in danger, I knew without doubt that the Lord was confronting me about my fear of bad things happening to my children. In 2014, when I lost my husband, and then 2 months later lost my job, I remember thanking the Lord over and over again for keeping my children safe. And he has continued to do so over the intervening years. But what I had to accept on Monday morning was that I am terrified of losing my children, terrified of bad things coming into their lives. Job worried about his children. When reading the first chapter of Job, I've always been impressed that his children enjoyed one another's company so much that they would go to each other's homes for dinner parties. I could not see this happening as a regular thing for my three children. Job 1:4 says, "And his sons would go and feast in their houses, each on his appointed day, and would send and invite their three sisters to eat and drink with them." Job did not have the confidence that his children would behave in a way that pleased the Lord. And so built into his routine a ritual of praying for them and making sacrifices on their behalf to protect them from any potentially painful consequences of their potentially poor choices. Job 1:5, "So it was when the days of feasting had run their course that Job would send and sanctify them, and he would rise early in the morning and offer burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, 'It may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts.' Thus Job did regularly." I can relate to this very well. I spend time each day praying for my children and asking the Lord to protect them, even though they have no personal relationship with Him. I pray for their salvation constantly. All my worst fears are wrapped up in the fate of my kids. Job was the same. After receiving this devastating news, Job 1:18 to 19, "While he was still speaking, another also came and said, 'Your sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house, and suddenly a great wind came from across the wilderness and struck the four corners of the house, and it fell on the young people, and they are dead, and I alone have escaped to tell you.'" And after many other terrible things that happened to Job, by the end of chapter 3, he says the following, Job 3:24 to 26, "For my sighing comes before I eat, and my groanings pour out like water. For the thing I greatly feared has come upon me, and what I dreaded has happened to me. I am not at ease, nor am I quiet. I have no rest, for trouble comes." The thing he had greatly feared, the thing that through his prayers and sacrifices he had been working hard over the years to prevent from happening, had happened. Job had been relying on his own effort and his own good standing before the Lord to protect his children. We know the backstory here. We know that God was not punishing Job for some sin that he'd committed, despite the words of his four quite unhelpful friends throughout the book. We know that God rated Job as a righteous man. And we know that Satan cynically suggests to God that Job's faithfulness was easy because he had been so blessed by God. Just go back to chapter 1, 9 and 8 to 11. "So Satan answered the Lord and said, 'Does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge around him, around his household and around all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But now stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face.'" The big question for me is, have I genuinely surrendered my worst fears to the Lord? I am someone who has experienced some of her worst fears becoming reality. Despite everything I've already lived through that I never imagined would happen to me, part of me questions whether I would actually be able to cope if I were to lose one or all of my children. Would I survive it mentally and emotionally? Would losing them completely break me? Have I genuinely surrendered my children to the Lord? Do I truly trust Him and His plan for their lives? My reaction during my devotions on Monday made it clear to me that much more work needs to be done in the decluttering of my thinking when it comes to my children. Like Job, I've been relying on my own effort to ensure that my kids are protected, my prayers and petitions to the Lord on their behalf. But the truth is, I cannot protect my children. I can only trust in the one who can. My worst fears show up in areas where I am not fully trusting in the Lord, where my heart is not fully surrendered to Him and His will for both me and for those I love. I can only admit that this is the case and turn to God for my strength. Psalm 73:26, the writer says, "My flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." When the dream I had suggested to me that I would die, I turned immediately in prayer to Him. Proverbs 18:10, we sang it earlier. "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe." And in that dream, fully accepting that I might die or be seriously injured, I felt an enormous sense of peace. Philippians 4:7 says, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." When we are faced with our worst fears, we must fight against our fear and panic and lay hold of our trust and confidence in Him. He loves us, understands fully the cosmic story that we're a part of but cannot yet fathom, and promises to be with us through all our worst fears. I've just taken a couple of passages from the Psalm. Psalm 139:17-18. "How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with you." In Psalm 23:4-5, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over." Engaging in thoughts that imagine our worst fears happening is not consistent with Christ's own teaching. Jesus Himself says in Matthew 6:34, "Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." Surrendering every aspect of our lives to the Lord is far easier said than done. I am certain that each one of us has something that we fear happening. What are your worst fears? What do you feel would totally break you as a person should it happen to you? Our job as believers is to worship the Lord and trust Him in all things, no matter how tragic or painful they might be. Job understood that everything he had came from the Lord anyway, and that includes all of the people in our lives whom we love. Job 1:20-22, "Then Job arose, tore his robe, shaved his head, and fell to the ground and worshipped. And he said, 'Naked I come from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord.' In all this, Job did not sin, nor charge God with wrong." The story of Job highlights a couple of important truths for us as Christ followers. First, there is a real battle taking place in the spiritual realm, and Satan wants nothing more than for all humanity to curse God and die. That suits his agenda. If he can make us doubt God's love for us and cause us to reject the truth of God's word, then he has won. Secondly, the tragedy that befell Job was not the result of his disobedience. We often feel that when devastating things happen in our lives, it must be because we have done something wrong and deserve to be punished. God will always be more interested in the development of our character and our faith in Him than He will be in preserving our comfort. He wants us to learn that our comfort only comes from Him and from our relationship with Him, made possible through the life, death, and resurrection of His Son, Jesus Christ. Bad things happen in this broken world. We cannot protect ourselves or our loved ones from experiencing our worst fears here on earth. Our hope is and only ever can be in Him, the Sovereign Lord, Creator of all things, Master of the universe. He promises to never leave us or forsake us if we put our trust in Him, even in the midst of our worst fears. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You that You are a loving Father, and that although we might experience very painful things here on this earth, You have promised never to abandon us in those situations, that our comfort will always come from You, even when the pain we feel as human beings is extreme. I ask, Lord, that You would work in each of our hearts to help us surrender things that we feel that we want to protect and control, and realize that the safest form of protection is the protection that You give in Your perfect will. I thank You, Lord, that You love our unsaved children more than we do. I thank You that You love us. And I thank You, Lord, that we're part of a story that we don't even fully understand how it's all going to finish, but we know it finishes well. And we know that we have every confidence, should have every confidence in You to see us through to eternity with You. We thank You in Your Son's precious and holy name. Amen.